Good morning. Today's daf is daf Mem Gimel. We're going to finish the sixth parak of Bechoros today, and hopefully make our way today to get back to where we should be. Today we should be at the end of Mem Gimel. We're in Mem Beis Amud Aleph, and we're right now in the middle of a Yisod of Rav Chisda. There are two types of abnormalities of an animal, and the truth of the matter is in human as well. And then one is called androgynous, and the other one is tumtum. Androgynous is, in modern day, we would call it a hermaphrodite. Someone who visibly has both male and female genitalia. That is what is called an androgynous. So your options are really three options. I guess we could say a fourth, but you're basically three options. Either it's a male or it's a female. Oh, let's say four options. It's a male, it's a female, it's a safek, or it's its own a separate category altogether. Meaning that for the androgynous, you'd have like three boxes. In other words, one box would be male, the other box would be female, and the third box would be neither, right? New category, right? So for the androgynous, maybe I'll check off the third one, or maybe I'll check off one and two. In other words, you understand. That's the story with an androgynous, but you understand, though, both genitalia are visible, so it's fair to look at it and say, I'm not really sure what that is, but the other category, which really we're talking about this morning, and what's going to end the sixth parak, is a tumtum. Tumtum is an animal where we don't know what its genitalia is, simply because it's being covered. There's a flap of skin, a membrane, covering the entire genital area, and so therefore we don't know. We don't know if it's a male, we don't know if it's a female, we just simply don't know. Okay, and Rav Chisda says, and this was yesterday, Rav Chisda says, the entire debate of our Mishnah about how to categorize an androgynous, whether it's a male with a mum, whether it's a male, whether it's its own separate category, right? Three opinions back in the Mishnah. So Rav Chisda says the whole debate is by androgynous. But when it comes to a tumtum, I'm quoting now, it's on the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Beis, Ava b'tumtum divrei hakol sveika hu, v'kadosh misveika. So, but when it comes to the tumtum, everyone is of the opinion that it's a safek, meaning it's either male or it's female, we just don't know. In other words, so that's where we're going to put it. We're going to put it in the camp of Suffolk. It is not a beria bifnei atzma. It's not its own separate independent entity. It's not a third box category. It's either male or female. Just simply, we don't know. Okay, that is the opinion of Rav Chisda. And there is no debate. Rav Chisda says this is not subject to a machlokas tanayim. There is a machlokas tanayim, but that's by androgynous. But when it comes to tumtum, there simply is no debate. It's either male or it's female. And end that discussion. We quoted yesterday a lot of brisos and even mishnayos that seemed to tell us that tumtum is subject to a debate, and Rav Chisda did something what we would call slightly radical, and that is every time that there was a brisa or a mishnah that uttered the word tumtum, so he says take the word tumtum out, because tumtum just comes along. It's like a package deal. It comes along with androgynous, right? I gave the example yesterday, grusha v'chalutza just kind of rolls off the tongue. They're not the same, grusha v'chalutza. Right? One is prohibited to a kohen min haTorah, the other one is only prohibited midrabbanan. But yeah, grusha v'chalutza just roll off the tongue. Same thing with tumtum v'androgynous. They always come together, but Rav Chisda says, but in the brisos, you have to take them out because there's no debate. Everyone agrees tumtum is a suffix. We don't know what it is, period, end of discussion. Tashma, we are on Mem Beis Amud Aleph. We're more than halfway down the page. And we're starting with the words, Tashma, it's the first words on the line. Rav Elazar Omer, Chamisha lo kadoshim v'lo makdishin. Now, this is just another brisa, which is going to basically result in the same problem. Problem is, it mentions the word tumtum. Okay? So, let's go through this rather quickly. Rav Elazar says that there are five that are kadoshim v'lo makdishin. Ve'elu hein, atrefa v'aklaim v'yosidovim v'tumtum v'androgynous. So, they are, right? And tumtum's listed together with androgynous and Eino makdishim. In other words, it cannot affect a tamura. So why not? In other words, if it's a suffix, so it's a suffix. But why not? V'chite ma'achanam isami mikan tumtum. And maybe you'll do your move that you've done up until now, which is remove tumtum. But you can't do that in this brisa because havalu arba'a. Because now the brisa says, I'm going to give you a list of five. And tumtum is one of the five, so you can't simply take it out. So that, because that'll bring us down to four. So, apik tumtum v'ayol yasom. So the Gemara says, so what we'll do is, we'll take tumtum out, like we've been doing consistently through all the other braces. You need a replacement, we'll put in yasom, we'll put in the orphan. An orphan is going to be disqualified, right? Tachas imosas a pasuk. It has to have a parent, and this one doesn't, so therefore it's disqualified. Okay, more. We discussed this back in Chulin. Okay, good. Right, correct. Correct. Lema kitanai. The Gemara now suggests this issue, this statement of Rav Chista, that everyone agrees that Imtumtum is not subject to a debate. The Gemara would like to suggest it's subject to a debate. Lema kitanai, Rabbi Eli Omer, Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Eli says, in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, androgynous, b'chor hu mumi imo. How do we view the androgynous? It's a male with a blemish, right? That female genitalia is going to be considered a blemish. It's like a chritz, right? It's like a, so that is the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, consistent with what Rabbi Yishmael said back in our Mishnah. The Chachamim omrim in kedusha chala alav. And the Chachamim say, no, there's no kedusha. Why is there no kedusha? Because it's not. It's not a male. What is it? Birya bifnei atzma. Third box. Check the third box. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda omer mishum. Rabbi Shimon harei omer hazachar v'chomakum shenema zachar. Eina ela lahotzi tumtum v'adranganus. So it says zachar. You know what zachar is coming to do? Exclude. Tumtum v'adranganus are to be excluded. Period. Now, here's our issue. Because in this braisa, we have now recorded a third opinion in this braisa. Rabbi Shimon is quoted via Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon says that when it says male, it means not a tumtum and not an androgynous. Now, not an androgynous that we get, because again, we know that there are many positions that say that androgynous is not a male. Fine. But you know what also it says? It says a tumtum is not a male. Wait a second. According to Rav Chista, right, didn't he say that according to everybody, a tumtum is either a male or a female? We just don't know. And the idea now that there's a Tana out there that says that a tumtum is not a male, meaning categorically not a male, according to Rav Chista, that opinion shouldn't exist. And meanwhile, we just read in the Braisa. What's your move now? Your move is that you're going to remove tumtum. Okay, that's going to be your move. That has been your move through the entire Amud of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. So you're going to remove tumtum. That's going to be a problem. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Hayinu Rabbanan. Because then Rabbi Shimon is saying the exact same thing as the Chachamim. What did the Chachamim say? No Kedusha. Why? Because it's not a male. What's Rabbi Yehuda saying in the name of Rabbi Shimon? It's no Kedusha. Why? Because it's not a male. Right? I sounded like I was repeating myself. Exactly. The Gemara says, your Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim are coming out the same thing. So the Gemara says, so the difference between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon is Tumtum. Tanakama Savarein Kedusha Chalalav Androgynous of a Tumtum Sveikahu. Vikarish Me Sveika. Where according to the Chachamim, an androgynous is its own separate category, fine. It therefore does not have Kedushas Bechor. What about a Tumtum? I don't know. Could be male, could be female. On the fact that, on the side that it's a male, so it's going to have Kedusha. So it's Suffolk. That's the position of the Chachamim. And what's Rabbi Shimon saying? The author Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Lamemar, Tumtum ber Yehu velo Kadosh. And that a Tumtum is its own separate entity, and therefore does not have Kedusha. That's the way we're setting up the Braisa problem on Rav Chista. Because Rav Chista said that Kulei Alma, according to everybody, everyone agrees how to look at a Tumtum, and that is Suffolk. And meanwhile, we now have a Braisa, and it's not Kulei Alma, it's not everybody. So the Gemara suggests like this. Lo, we're on the top of Membeis Amud Beis, two lines down. Dekulei Alma Tumtum Beberia Lamesafke. Zachu Unakevahu Demesafke. Look, everyone's going to say that a tumtum is either a male or a female, meaning it's a state of doubt. We don't know. Now, the Gemara says, now, there's going to be a fantastic indication of whether the tumtum is a male or a female. Meaning, look, it's either one of the two. There's never going to be a third box. This is all according to Rav Chista. There's never going to be a third box for a tumtum. Never. It's either male or a female. He says, but here's what you do. You're going to look for the animal urinating. The animal urinating, now we don't know where the genitalia is because it's covered by a membrane covering the entire area of the genitalia. But look to where it urinates. If it urinates, I'm sorry, let me read this inside. Malcolm Zachros. If it urinates where the Zachros should be, where the male genitalia should be, So then everyone agrees, look, what better piece of information do you have where you see that the urine is coming out where the zachar should be, where the male genitalia should be? So, but where is the debate? The debate is, what if it urinates from the makam nekeva, from the area of the female genitalia? So now, what's our conclusion over there? Meaning, on one hand, that's a great indication that this is a female, not a male. On the other hand, it may be a false positive. Why would it be a false positive? It could be because there's an entire membrane covering the pouch, covering that area. So it could be that it's taking the zachrus and bending it back so that it's a false positive. Meaning it's urinating from what would normally be the place where the female urinates from, but because the membrane is covered, so is covering the zachrus, so it could be a false positive. Could be a male who just happens to be now urinating from the back end. And the other position is we're not choshesh. Okay? The Gemara now is suggesting that is the machlokus that we have just learned in the Braisa. Meaning, we're now defending Rav Chista. Everyone agrees that a tumtum is not a third, is not an independent category. A tumtum is either a male or a female. And if it urinates from the where the male normally urinates, everyone agrees, we now know it's a male. The only thing left for discussion is, what if it urinates out of the back of the animal, the place where normally the female urinates? So the Gemara now is telling us that that's a machlokus. Why? One position is it's a false positive, could be a false positive, where could be that it's a male, just that it's the fact that it's covered now basically bends the zachrus back to the back of the animal. And the other position is no such thing. No, right, this is unlikely, implausible explanation, it's a female. Okay, just as a personal note, so yesterday I took my kids to the farm. So we do this every now and then. We go up to the Bermans, those of you who speak Hollywood. The Bermans have a large dairy farm up in Okeechobee, Florida. So I took my family to the farm. And Dr. Berman, I was preparing yesterday for the daf, and Dr. Berman thought I was out of my mind. I said, I need to see animals urinate. I'm totally. Huh? So no, the animals performed. The animals did excellent. They really all the animals performed great, and it's interesting because I asked them also a whole series of questions regarding the blemishes that we've been discussing for the past couple of days. It was for me, it was great. You know, he probably thought I was out of my mind, out of my blessed mind, but no, he's a Shomer Shabbos. He understands. So I told him I needed to see urination. So, right now that I have a mental image, which I'm not sure if I want to share with everybody, but but now I'm good. I'm now good. I now totally understand. I see. I have a fresh mental picture in my mind exactly of what the Gemara is talking about over here when it says urinating. I asked him if he ever saw a tumtum, an animal that comes out as a tumtum. So he said, no. He's got a farm. It's 900 acres. It's well over. He's got 2,000 cows milking. So he must have a farm of, 3,000-4,000 cows, something like that. Baruch Hashem. Third generation. It's a big deal. Huh? Gore Berman, Rabbi Gore Berman. He's here in Boca. So that's his son.
Well, that's
his
son.
Yeah. So, it's serious. So I asked him if he ever saw an animal which was a tumtum, so he said no. I asked him about androgynous, he said yes.
Did?
Yes. Wow. Yes. Wow. Yes. He explained to me. He's a doctor. Dr. Berman's a veterinarian, so he knows his animals. So he explained to me that yes, sometimes they do come out as a hermaphrodite. He explained to me that sometimes when the animals twin up, when they come out as twins, so for reasons which I don't fully understand, he says there's a potential for the for that twinning animal to come out as a hermaphrodite. So yeah, he said absolutely. Anyway, back to the Gemara. Okay, so far so good.
Humans, it's less common probably.
It's a fair question. I'm just not the address for the question.
All
right. He knows a lot. I mean, he's a source of information. Amen. Okay? So, I'm sorry. Kiha dahora Rabbi Elazar. Now, in the Girsa we have, it's Rabbi Elai. Now, in the Girsa that we have Rabbi Elai, Rashi has his Girsa as well. Okay, don't be confused because we just learned Rabbi Elai in the Braisa. This is not Rabbi Elai the Tana. This is now Rabbi Elai the Amora. So, and Rabbi Elai says that if the animal urinates b'makom nekeva from the back end of the animal, so then it's chulin. Why? Because it's a female. Period. Okay.
Thank you, but doesn't a female can tell it's a female from it? She nurses a baby, right?
Yeah. So what happens? Right. What happens to our udders? But I guess you'll say that the tumtum, the membrane covers everything. Meaning in order for it to cover, again, this is just going with the, it's a lot of covering. No, because the zachrus of the, again, I saw cows yesterday. But the zachrus of the cow is not in the back end. It's like, it's almost flush in the middle of the animal. So you're talking about a patch of membrane that covers all the way from the back end and has to go really underneath, almost to the center of the animal. It's not a small patch.
Yeah, so, I thought
it would be a better indication. Right. Okay. So, Rav Yochanan said, Nekevas chulin, okay, period. Period. Okay? So, we have so far now covered the Gemara, Aliba, the Rav Chista, according to Rav Chista. So, the way Rav Chista presents it, when you have a tumtum, there is no third option. It's either male or female. We obviously don't know. Urinating will be an excellent indication of what it is. If it urinates off the center of the body, so it's a male for sure. If it urinates from the back end, possibly a male, possibly, that's subject to a debate. But the only debate is, do we say that this, do we take into consideration that maybe it's a false positive? That maybe it's a male that happens to be now urinating back to the back end simply because of the skin, the patch of skin that's covering the bottom. Okay, Taiba Rav Yochanan. So now to all this, Rav Yochanan says, no, no. Meaning he does not like the approach of Rav Chista. Taiba Rav Yochanan, delochash l'tanakama l'Rabbi Yishmael. So no one's worried about the Tanakama and Rabbi Yishmael. Meaning they seem to suggest that a tumtum is in fact a possible third category. V'lemer Rav Yochanan nami man delochash l'Rabban Basrai. What about the Rabbanan Basrai of our Mishnah? The Amar Rav Chista Machlokes Banjagnas of a Tumtum Divrei Akol Sveika. So Rav Yochanan lo svir leid Rav Chista. So the Gemara says Rav Yochanan just simply does not take the approach of Rav Chista. I lo svir leid lema hu damar Rabbanan Basrai. So Achinami Kamar. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's pretty much what he's saying. Man shavit trei va'avid kechad. Meaning, what you're doing is you're ignoring two positions, Tanakam and Rabbi Shmuel. And you're just arbitrarily now going like the Rabbanan Basrai, Rabbi Elazar Kaman Svara, Ki Adam Areish Lakish, Lo Amrim Tumtum Safek Ela Ba'adam. The only time that we say that a Tumtum is a Safek only is only by human. V'Zachrusov V'Nikvasov B'Makom Echad. Where there, Zachrus and Nekevas are basically in the same general area, and so there, we just simply don't know. Ava Behema Matamayim B'Makom Zachrus Zachar, Matamayim B'Makom Nekevas Nekeva. Okay, but according to Rav Elazar, you look at the place where it urinates. So, what about that false positive that we were describing, where because it was covered, so possibly, even though it's urinating from the back, it still may be a male? So he says, what do you think? You think you're worried about Rav Meir? Meaning, the chances that that's going to happen, that you're going to have such a false positive, are minuscule. The only one who worries about miut is Rav Meir. Not our concern. Abai barav and Rav Chanina barav and Dami Tavei afilu tem rabbanan hol v'shtani shtani. So the Gemara says no, not necessarily. Meaning that false positive doesn't necessarily reflect the position of Rav Meir, because here the fact that that area now is covered with a patch of skin, maybe that's not just a minority. Maybe that is really good cause and justification for the animal now, a male animal, urinating off the back end. Okay. The Gemara suggests maybe this is subject to a machlokis. Perhaps, suggests the Gemara, This issue is subject to a machlokes tanaim. The Tanya we learned in a brisa. Tumtum shekideish kedushav kedushim. If let's say you have a tumtum, we're now talking about humans right now, who is mekadesh? Goes over to a woman and says, Hariat mekadeshesli. And she accepts. Okay? Or niskadesh. Let's go the other way. Let's say he, she, we don't know what it is. Right? And a man goes over and is mekadesh. I'll say right now her, even though we don't know. So it doesn't have to be, meaning, right. The only way this could work. So kedusha of kedushin. Right? So you see that by a human, we're totally prepared to entertain the notion that he may be a she or she may be a he. V'cholet v'choltzen li'ishto. And does performs chalitza, meaning our tumtum's brother was married and the brother dies and now you understand, he can't perform the mitzvah of yibum. Okay? And if there's explanation needed, see me after the daf. So he can't perform the mitzvah of yibum. And but he has to do chalitza, because he may be a man, v'choltzen li'ishto. And you do chalitza to his wife, meaning if he married and he dies, you have to do chalitza to his wife. U'miyabim li'ishto. And you can even do yibum to his wife. V'tanya ida cheshesh tumtum cholatzot v'lo mitzvah abemes. Now another position is that in the wife of a tumtum, you do chalitza, but not yibum. Savru de kol yamak rabbi kivud amar. Now, what's the issue over here? Can I perform the mitzvah of yibum to the wife of a tumtum? Okay? So perhaps, the amar sriz chama lo cholatz v'lo miyabem. That, look, if you have a sriz chama, someone who is sterile from birth, right? That's called a sriz chama. Sriz chama, the way to understand it is at the moment he sees the sun, from the moment of birth, he is sterile. So lo cholatz v'lo miyabem. My la b'hakam ifligi demand amar cholatz v'cholatzin liishto. So the Gemara says we will just simply we don't argue the offer the argument of since there was a change there was a change. And the Gemara says, and meanwhile the one that says that you can that you cannot do yibum, maybe he subscribes to the position of since there was a change there was a change. Lo, the kuli amrin and a whole vishani shani have Rav Elazar v'have Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says maybe the machlokis over here is whether or not a sris chama is a disqualification. Umantan aliba de Rabbi Akiva ilim Rav Yehuda havade sris mashrele. So the Gemara says, well, according to Rav Yehuda, a tumtum is a sris. Period. And how do I know this? Rav Yehuda omer tumtum shenikra v'nimsa zachar harizel lo yachlot mimneshu kisris. Rav Yehuda says definitively that if I have a tumtum where that membrane broke, and you actually see now that he's a zachar, okay, he's a zachar, but he's also a sris. And he's a sris chama, which means that he's not in the parsha of yibum and chalitza. Ela Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, he did Tanya, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Amr tumtum locholetz shema yikarei, v'yimtza sris chama. So Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda says a tumtum cannot do chalitza. Why? Because maybe, perhaps he'll turn out to be a sris chama. I to call the mikre zachar mishtakach, so nekeva lo mishtakach. First of all, you don't know what's underneath, meaning you don't know if he's a male, you don't know if he's a female. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll just clarify the statement a little bit better. Shema kamer, shema yikarei v'yimsa nekeva. So the Gemara says, right, exactly. Maybe you will find him to be a her, inami zachar. And even if she is a he, meaning, okay, it turns out that he was a male, shem yitzimatzei sris chama, so it might be a sris chama. So basically now we're saying it one of two ways. We're saying that the tumtum, whose membrane finally exposes, and it turns out that it's a male, so one version has it that he's absolutely a sris chama, no question about it. The other position is, no, there's a good chance he's a sris chama, we don't know for sure. So I'm a Rava. So the Gemara says, nafkamina, I'm sorry, my benai, what's the nafkamina? Practical difference between them. So the Gemara says, a couple of the yibum halachas. Number one, lifso b'mokam achim. So number one, if there are other brothers who are fit, and this one went first, and he performed chalitza, if he is definitively a sris chama, what was his act of chalitza? Nothing. Zero. Because the Sris Chama doesn't have the opportunity to perform the mitzvah of Yibum. nor chalitza. So now all the other brothers who are fit still now have an opportunity to perform the mitzvah of yibum. If, however, it's only a suffek, maybe he's a sris chama. So now if he performed chalitza, so not chalitza won't be good, because he may be a sris chama. On the other hand, it may have been good. So now we say to all the other brothers who are possible candidates for either yibum or chalitza, we're sorry. Meaning one of you is going to have to do chalitza for sure, just to make sure that she's now free to marry whoever she wants, but none of you can perform the mitzvah of yibum because the artumtum brother who did chalitza may in fact be eligible. That's one nafkamina. Second nafkamina is shaloba makam achim. What if there are no other brothers? Does he need to do chalitza? He's the only surviving brother. So if we're saying that he's that a tumtum is vada isris chama, so then he says to her, look, you're free to go. I don't even need to do chalitza because I'm a sris chama. But if you say that maybe he's a sris chama, so then he's going to have to do a chalitza out of doubt, out of suffolk. Where does this leave us all? Hadron lacha elamumim. It ends the sixth parak. And basically it leaves us off now with a major machlokus between the Tanaim and the Amoraim, how to categorize a tumtum. A tumtum can either be a birya bifnei atzma, although Rav Chista says categorically no, that's not your option. Rav Chista says that a tumtum is a suffik. That's how we categorize it. Meaning it may be male, it may be female, it's a suffik. Then further, expounding Rav Chista's position, you look for urinating. Urination of the animal will give us a better indication. If it urinates from Makom Zachor, so Rav Chista says, we all know it's a male. The only thing that we're left to question is, what if it urinates from the back end, where a female normally urinates from? So he says, that's a machlokas. That's the debate in terms of how we're going to categorize it. Do we say it's a female, or do we look at perhaps it's a false positive, and we suggest that it's a male, or the Gemara's terminology of hold the ishtani ishtani. Since it has gone through a physical change, so therefore it's possible that it's a male urinating out the back end, possibly. Okay, that is all the approach of Rav Chista. Rav Yochanan did not agree with that approach. Rav Yochanan entertains the notion that according to some Tanayim, a tumtum is a birya bifnei atzmo. Okay, and it seems like the halacha favors Rav Chista, not Rav Yochanan. Okay. Good. Ad kan, sixth parak of Becharos. We now begin the seventh parak of Becharos. Okay, seventh parak of Becharos. Now it's going to get personal because now we're going to talk about humans. Okay. And a very, very, it's a short parak. Right, we'll be here for not really one, two, three days. That's it. The seventh parak of Becharos, it deals primarily with what is going to disqualify a Kohen. Kohen, in order to do the avodah in the base of Mikdash, he needs to be physically perfect. Much like an animal needs to be physically perfect. In fact, the first thing we're going to read in the Mishnah, in the first Mishnah of the seventh parak is, you know, whatever apostles by an animal is going to apostle by a Kohen. Okay. Now, you know you're not going to take that statement literally. Because one of the things that disqualifies an animal is if its tail doesn't reach the first joint. Okay. Now, how does that translate to a Kohen? The answer is, it does not translate to a Kohen. Okay. So, you know already that not everything, right? The hoof of the animal cannot be rounded like a horse. Okay. That's also not going to translate well to a Kohen. So we don't really mean that everything that disqualifies an animal is going to disqualify a Kohen, but you understand, though, that those things that are eligible by an animal and eligible by a human are going to be common disqualifiers for animals as it is for human. A wart, for example, a grav or a yabeles, those things are common. In fact, they're so common, they're mentioned both by animals and by humans as well. We'll get to that point a little bit later on.
Even if it's covered with clothing?
Yeah. Correct. Meaning these are blemishes. Correct, absolutely.
Okay. Not just visible.
Correct. Now, one word of introduction. All this will be pretty much clear as we get to the end of today's daf, and that's the following. Basically, we're gonna look at three categories. When we talk about things that will disqualify a Kohen from doing the Avoda. Number one, what I just talked about. Mumim, blemishes. Whatever blemishes by an animal is going to be a blemish by a Kohen as well. And that is an absolute disqualifier. The Kohen is so disqualified from doing the Avoda, A, he's going to receive lashes if he does the avoda in the state of being a baal mum. Two, whatever avoda he did is mechulal. No good. The avoda needs to be redone. So you give your ena a carbon to a kohen who's a baal mum, meaning what we're discussing right now, a mum in HaTorah, and he does the avoda, so you're going to need to do the whole thing over again. Your carbon did not count because it was offered by a kohen baal mum. Two, there's another category of mumim, which is it is eno shave shel lazara shel Aaron. You don't look like the progeny of Aaron. Aaron becomes like a prototype. Now I know we don't have pictures of Aaron. Makes it hard to really put this into any type of category, but a Kohen needs to look like Aaron, meaning not facial feature recognition, but we mean basically the look of a quote-unquote normal human being.
Not too big, not too heavy.
Huh? Right, but this is going to be true by all Kohanim. Now here, it's the consequence is not going to be as severe, meaning if a Kohen has this type of blemish, right, like a misshaped head, right? Just throw out an example. We'll talk about a number of examples today. So then a Kohen cannot do the avoda, but here the avoda is not mechulal. And finally, there's a third category, which we're going to call maris ayin. Now I call it maris ayin because the Mishnah is going to call it maris ayin, but it's not maris ayin in the classic sense that you and I normally discuss. Maris ayin, not you know, don't put chicken and milk on the same table together, maris ayin. It, you know, it doesn't look good. So it's just a different type of maris ayin. Maybe you'll understand better. Maybe I'll understand better as we go through examples over here. So really there's going to be a lot of information, but if we want to just put into categories, number one, the mumim of common animal human. Two, eino shav lazarusha Aaron, doesn't look like the progeny of Aaron. Three, maris ayin. Yeah, so the right, good question. What kind of liability does he have? You want to call it a hezek sheino nikar? I don't know. Good question. Right? He knows he's a baal mum.
Why should you?
Yeah. Okay, mumim elu. Bein kvuin, bein ovrim, psul poslim ba'adam. All these mumim, meaning basically what the Mishnah is telling you is go over the sixth parak again. Okay? That'll be your homework tonight. Okay, review the sixth parak of Becharos. Good. Everything we just mentioned, now whether it's Kavu or whether it's Over, are going to be posted by Adam. In other words, take any one of those. Huh?
But Over was not.
Right. In other words, it's one level above that. Meaning he by Adam, even if it's Over, it's still going to be a postal. Okay, so number one, the first point the Mishnah makes is go back over the entire sixth parak. Okay? After you reviewed it, good. All that information now, take it to a human. If a human, in our case, we're obviously talking about a Kohen. If a Kohen has such a blemish, no good. Now, v'yeser aleihem. And then on top of that, here's what you're going to add. Now, I'm going to read the Mishnah without explaining. The Gemara is going to do all the explaining. Number one, kilo. Number two, lifta. Number three, makvan. Number four, rosho shakut. Number five, skifas. Number six, Bale Chataros. Here, I'll explain. Bale Chataros is a hunchback. Okay. Rav Yehuda Machshav v'Chachamim Poslim. Debate in the Mishnah whether a hunchback is a blemish or not a blemish. Number seven, HaKereach. The bald Kohen. Pasul. He's the Pasul. Ezu Kereach, Kol She'en Lo Shita, Shol Se'ar, Mukefetz Me'ozen La'ozen. When we say kereach in this regard, it means not even a line of hair going from one ear to the other ear. However, im yeshlo harezeh kasher. But if you, as long as you have a line of hair going from one ear to the other ear, you would be kasher.
It could be on the back of the head.
Gemara is going to discuss that issue. Right, but that's right. Head to toe. But they're not. Are they subject to the same moment? I don't think.
Bale Chataros
is a hunchback.
Right. According to Yehuda, it's okay, but he doesn't look like Aaron.
We'll get to the Gemara. The Gemara is going to discuss that as well. Okay. Now, first of all, the Gemara says, "Amai vaika yabelas deloksi baraisa baadam v'sudak tavlu deloksi v'bebehema." So the Gemara says the Mishnah opened up with a very, very strong assumption: whatever is a blemish by an animal is going to be a blemish by a human. Whatever is a blemish by a human is a blemish by an animal. The Torah gives open communication and fair treatment of basically, if it's a blemish by an animal, it's a blemish by a human, and vice versa. And you know, now, you have to know your psukim to know this well, but let's just assume that we know our psukim, and when I say that, I mean, of course, myself as well. Let's just assume. And you know that not all the blemishes that are mentioned by human are mentioned by an animal. And not all the blemishes by animal are mentioned by human. The Gemara gives a couple of examples. Like, for example, Yabelis. Yabelis, which is a wart, isn't mentioned by human, only mentioned by animal. Dak tavlul, your eye conditions. Dak, some sort of cloudiness of the cornea. Tavlul, we talked about where the white of the eye now encroaches into the black of the eye. The loksiva bebehema. Now that's not mentioned by behema. It's only mentioned by Adam. So how do I know that there is a shared blemish of animals and humans? Where does the Mishnah make that assumption? Melef yalfe mehadade. So the Gemara says it's yafusa, meaning we have the right to extrapolate from one to the other. Why? So the Gemara says that what we're going to do is we're going to learn out a gzeirah shava based on the fact that grav is mentioned by both. Right? Grav is mentioned by both. And the Gemara says, and this is gzeirah shava, not just gzeirah shava, but to use my terminology, mufne, super gzeirah shava. Now it has to be super gzeirah shava. Why? Because Adam ebehema lo yalef shekain he atzma kriv legabe mizbeach. Because look, an animal maybe has more sensitivity to blemishes simply because you're offering the animal on the mizbeach. You're not offering the kohen on the mizbeach, so it could be that the animal has more sensitivity. Conversely, behema ma'adam lo yalef shekain esrabe mitzvos. Could be that Kohanim are more sensitive to blemishes because Nisrab mitzvahs, because a Kohen is subject to all the rules and regulations of the mitzvahs of the Torah. So maybe there's a higher level sensitivity to blemishes. So La'ayeh, so the Gemara says, you're right, afnuye mufne. Now literally, you don't have to buy into my terminology, but literally afnuye means that the words are superfluous, right? Meaning, basically, yeah, opening up for a strong zereshavah. Because look, the Torah could have just simply written yalefes, and then I wouldn't need grav, because ana amina my yalefes v'lo me'isa havimoma grav demaisel kol shekein. Look, they're both warts. Grav is more disgusting. Grav, you remember, we said that it's kecheres, it's hard like pottery. It's an indentation in the skin, and it's hard like pottery. Like it's a much more ma'us, more disgusting type of blemish. So all the Torah needs to say is yalefes, your wart, and then grav would have been a no-brainer. So grav, dekatz rachman alamali, la'afnuye. So now that the Torah mentions grav both by human and by animal, so that now opens ourselves up for gzereshava, but not just gzereshava, super gzereshava. V'lechtevin rachman akula bechad v'grav yalefes hacha v'hacha v'lofa mechada. So the Gemara says like this. Basically, why did the Torah give like a balance? Why did the Torah write some of the blemishes by animal, some of the blemishes by humans, and like open up the door through the Gzeirah Shavah to allow us to translate one to the other? Why doesn't the Torah write all the blemishes by one, use your Gzeirah Shavah, your super Gzeirah Shavah, and then be done with it? In other words, why did like the Torah distribute some of the blemishes here by animal, some of the blemishes by human. So, So the Gemara says, well, I just have a pragmatic answer to that. Because look, there's certain blemishes that are unique to animal. Kalut, The hoof is fused. Or chutin, right? The gums of the animal. Now, I know humans have gums as well, but animals have a very unique, specific type of gum, right? Again, I go back to my farm experience of yesterday, right? I know I mentioned this, but, you know, yesterday I got to put my hand, don't try this at home, but I got to put my hand into the mouth of the cow, and I have the stomach for this sort of thing. So I missed my calling life in terms of going into medicine. But you put your fingers right into the mouth of the cow, and you get to feel around. And it has teeth on the bottom. It doesn't have teeth on the top. Right? On the top, it's got a nice hard gum. Right? That's chutin. We don't have that, meaning we have teeth on the top and on the bottom. So it's something that is unique to animals, which is not true by humans. So the Torah couldn't write kalut and chutin by humans because it doesn't translate to animals. Because humans don't have it. Okay, good. So why don't I put all the blemishes by animals and have a mina called the basa behema pasa ba'adam? So the Gemara says, yeah, but you have certain things by humans that you don't have by animals. For example, gibain, thick eyebrows. Thick eyebrows, we're going to learn, is a blemish. Tamar's daf. Okay? And animals don't have eyebrows. Okay, so that doesn't translate well. Charum, bridge of the nose. Okay, if you don't have a bridge to your nose, that's a disqualification. It's not. This doesn't happen by animals. You don't have this by animals. I'm not really sure. What do you mean? this, meaning, right, your nose would basically be sunk in your face. Right, your glasses sit on your bridge.
Oh, so you kind of need that.
Well, I mean, you need that. You and I need that because both of us wear glasses. But oh, you missed some of my farm experience. I know. It's all recorded. It's all up there for posterity. So gibein v'charum delasnu bebehema ba'adam nami lo livsalu. Okay, good. So in other words, so you see that there's a number of blemishes which are true to animals, not true to humans. There are a number of blemishes that are true to humans and not true to animals. So the Torah, it's just a pragmatic answer. The Torah needed to distribute the blemishes between animals and humans simply because we have our unique blemishes and animals have their unique blemishes. The Gemara is persistent. The Gemara says, okay, but why don't we do like this? Why don't we just, all the ones that are specific to humans, put by humans. All the ones that are specific to animals, put by animals. And then for all the rest, for all the common ones, put them to one side. I don't know, put them by animals, put them by humans. Right? I'm not quite sure. I understand the simple pshat in the Gemara. I'm not sure what's driving the Gemara right now, that the Torah had to have put all the blemishes by one as opposed to the other. What's wrong with the equal distribution that the Torah did? I don't know what the driving force of the Gemara is, to be honest. But Elokit detan debei Rabbi Yishmael, detan debei Rabbi Yishmael, kol parsha shenemar v'nishneis, lo nishneis ela b'shul davashin is chadesh ba. So the Gemara says, look, we have a general rule. Rabbi Yishmael says that sometimes we'll have a total repeat of a parsha just for one extra chiddush. Torah does that, right? It's a style. It's an accepted style of the Torah. Amar Rav, lamali dekaz rachmana mumba adam mumba kachim mumba bechor. Now, blemishes are mentioned by humans, by kachim, and by bechor. We couldn't have learned one from the other, and the answer is no. Tzrichadi kaz rachmana mumba adam shekenes rabba mitzvos. Look, a human has mitzvos, so he has a super sensitivity towards blemishes. And look, as far as karbanos are concerned, they're actually offered on the mizbech, so that's an argument why they would be super sensitive to blemishes. How about learning general kashim from bechor? No, because bechor has kedusha the moment it comes out of its mother. You can't learn out humans from a karban because the karban actually is offered. Bechor mikachim loasit shekein kedusha so meruba. Look, kachim have more kedusha than a bechor. Bechor is just a regular shlamim. Karbanos, chatas, ola, they have more kedusha. Kachim. Chadim echad aloasi teisa chadim etarte. Okay, you know the next move of the Gemara. So we have three categories. Adam, bechor, kachim. How about the Torah mentioning two, and we'll learn out the third. So leave out Bechor. The Gemara says you can't do that. Malahanach can't do Shas Omeruba. Because, look, Kedusha Shas Omeruba has more Kedusha, and it applies to Pshutim. It applies to even non-firstborn, which obviously is not true by the Bechor. So the Gemara says, how about leave out Kachim? Malahanach can't do Shas Omealehem. No, because the Kedusha of a Kohen and the Kedusha of a Bechor are automatic. Not true by Karbanos in general. How about leave out the human? So the Gemara says, you can't do that because they are actually offered on the Mizbeach. The Gemara says, the Torah needed to write blemishes by humans, Bechor, and Karbanos. Let's do a little bit more today. I'm excited. We're almost back to where we should be. Yasar lein ba'adam. Minahani mila amirav yochran amakra. Kol ish asher bo mum mizera aron. Here we go now. Category number two. I told you from the beginning of the parak. There basically are three categories. Number one, anything mentioned in the Torah, both by humans and by animals. And remember now there is pollination. Right? There's crossover. Okay? So fine. So that's category number one. Where, if a Kohen is blemished with that kind of blemish, number one, he gets Malkus. Number two, Mechulal. The Avod is no good. Then there's category number two. That's the next part of the Mishnah of Yeser Aleihem. Minahan Emili, I'm Rav Yochanan, I'm Akar, Kolisha Sher Bomom, Mizera Aharon. Ish Sheshava Bezara Sha'aron. You have to look like Zara Sha'aron. So my Ika be Momel Sheinu Sheva Bezara Sha'aron, Ika Mishum Achule Avoda. Muma mechal avodah dechsiv mumbo v'lo yichalel. If you're in category number one of having a bona fide blemish amum, so you're mechalel. The avodah is simply mechulal. However, dechsiv mumbo v'lo yichalel. She'enu shava b'zar sha'aron lo mechal avodah. However, if it's enu shava b'zar sha'aron, the avodah is going to be good. U'mishum maris ha'ayin. Now, there's a third category that's kind of like snuck up on us. Ika b'inayu asay. Meaning that's not even a law of min haTorah. It's a dirabanan, if you will. Okay, good. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow, we start now actually identifying and defining. There were seven mentioned in our Mishnah, which is Enu Shavu Lazaru Shal Aaron. We're going to define those seven.